guys.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, you said before you thought that was a scheduled loss. But if there's, something akin to that. If there's anything, though, that happened in that game or the last couple that would concern you, what is it, if you're the Celtics?
Well, I would say Horford and Brown vanishing the way they did. Because Brown, Horford is obviously related to Thompson. I'm just not ready to chalk that one up yet.
Right, I was going to say, so you think that's just Horford in a vacuum doing one of his disappearing acts in a big game?
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with what Tyronn Lue and Tristan Thompson and the adjustment made there on the Cleveland side.
No, because they made the adjustment in the previous game, and Horford wasn't that bad. I mean, he vanished in this game. So to me, but the LeBron-Brown one is different to me because, again, LeBron made a concerted effort to play defense in this game, and he wiped Brown out, as he would wipe out any guy that he wanted to play straight up like that. I mean, if LeBron wants to play defense, you're gonna get swallowed up. There's just no two ways around it. He's that good. So if LeBron's committed to that again, then Brown's going to be invisible again in this game.
Yeah, Brown bothered me the way that he played. But more than anything else, like their lack of aggressiveness, how they got out-rebounded by this team. J.R. Smith was their second leading rebounder for Game 3. Like, that's pathetic because he sucks. But that shows you he was actually trying. Like, that can't happen. You have to outwork them in this game.
So to me, this is a Stevens game. Let's see him. I said he's going to steal you one this series. So this is for Stevens because there are so many things that are glaring that just don't look right for you.
After Saturday night, it's Brad.
So Jimmy has demoted him. He's no longer Coach Stevens. Jimmy's mad at Brad. So you think this one was on Stevens, Jimmy?
Yep, it's all on Brad. If he gets credit for the wins, he gets blamed for the losses. Do better tonight, Brad.
Okay. Coach Stevens to me. So again, when you've got a first quarter where Marcus Morris and Terry Rozier combined for 9 attempts and Brown and Tatum combined for 3, there's something wrong with your shot selection. Again, in the first half, you want to extend it out. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had 9 attempts. Morris, Rozier, and Marcus Smart combined for 17. Al Horford had none in the first quarter and none in the second half. Attempts. No field goal attempts in the first quarter or the second half. So, you know, it's about the key guys in your offense. Brown, Tatum, Horford. They didn't shoot enough. So this is on Stevens to make sure that the right guys are shooting the ball. And I know he's given Marcus Smart, particularly, and Marcus Morris, a lot of leeway. Well, all of his players, really. He lets Baines shoot 3-pointers and
sure.
Marcus Smart, so that's sort of the Brad Stevens way. He empowers his guys to shoot, and especially the 3. Just shoot, 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 and shoot. There should be, though, a little bit of a governor on that if your best players aren't shooting enough.
Yes. So, look, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I think a lot of what happened Saturday was Cleveland's defense. Like, if you're playing the Celtics, you identify the guys that you're not going to let shoot and beat you. And so it starts with Horford. So what do? You put people out there that are going to play with some level of defensive intensity, and you actually play defense. Now it's incumbent upon the Celtics, though, to say, okay, well, if they're going to play like that, then how do we get them open? So this is I want to see this now.
Absolutely.
Whether Stevens can pull it off.
And as, Murray mentioned, Monroe and Yubaseli in the first quarter?
Yeah, Yubaseli especially. What's he doing out there at all?
So was that Brad trying to combat Thompson? Or, like, is that what that was about?
It was Brad trying to goon it up.
What was that about?
I don't know. Like, there's no explanation.
It's called bad coaching by Brad.
There's no explanation I can hear or be told that I can accept. Those guys should not have been playing in the first quarter.
No, okay. So Monroe doesn't bother me as much. Because he's a veteran guy. You know that he can score around the hoop. Maybe he gets you a couple of easy buckets in the paint. Like, defensively, forget it. But at least they used him in the last series. Like, okay, fine. Yabusele? What the hell is he doing out there? Like, what's the logic there? When has he played in anything other than garbage time this postseason? When has he been out there in any situation of consequence in early in a game?
Did you hear Jim Louse comparison earlier?
No.
He said Yubaseli in the first quarter was like throwing to Matthew Slater deep down the field against Denver in the AFC title game out of nowhere.
Isn't that a
great analogy?
Yeah, I thought he was going to say that maybe it was like playing, Jordan Richards in the Super Bowl.
Yes, yeah. No, that's another one. Yes,
but,
exactly.
Something like
it's that. Like that.
Like this guy, he sucks. I mean, he's not ready to play in the playoffs. Holy crap, the French Panda, all of a sudden you're sticking him in Cleveland against LeBron in Game 3 in the first quarter?
So here's what also stood out to me is that LeBron deferred. I'm sorry, he deferred early. And, you know, when it goes well, when his guys hit their shots, it's a brilliant move by LeBron getting one else involved and distributing the ball and making sure that everyone's engaged. And, like, but when he doesn't, it's what are you doing not shooting it? What are you doing giving the ball to George effing Hill when you're playing for your life, LeBron? So I go back and forth on that. Maybe at home he gets away with it because, again, all these soft-ass frauds, maybe on both these teams, just play well in front of their crowd. And so LeBron can do that at home. On the road, he better not be deferring to George Hill. But that's a whole other thing to me that I find frustrating about some of these NBA series. Like, I want it to come down to these matchups and these coaching decisions and the tactical back and forth. Thompson on Horford, so now we're going to go big to combat Thompson and, you know, Brown on LeBron, or is it Marcus Morris on LeBron, and how does that, like, I want it to be about those things. Is it just about the gym?
Pretty much.
Because if it's just about the building, why are we all wasting our time?
Well, it's about the building and the players.
God, I hate that. And I it is one of the things I really don't like about the NBA. The given factor of some of these players when they're on the road. I mean, again, I hate to compare it to hockey, but you watch these hockey, and even when it's a 4-1 series, it's a fight to the death. Like, every game it feels like. I was giving up. People tripping over each other, sacrificing themselves to the buzzer in victory or defeat, home or road. It's like every game. In the NBA, you get down 12 in the second quarter, and we'll get them game three. We're home game three. It's like, well then what are we doing? Why are we playing seven? Just make it a three-game series, or make it a one-game. You know, this is all we're going to do is just win at home. We're really not accomplishing anything. I hate those kind of series. I feel like there's too many of them. There's just too many of them. I hope this is not that. And I think the Celtics are not that team. I want to give the Celtics credit for not being that team, for being tougher and smarter and deeper and more complete where they can go win on the road. But so far, they're 1-5 on the road, and they score about 20 points less on the road than they do at home. So have they really proven that to me yet?
No, and the one win they got, again, took Philly crapping its pants in order to pull that out.
But you were complicit in that, meaning you forced it. That was coaching, and that was toughness, and that was everything. So that game really opened my eyes and turned me. Well, now you got to do it again. I'm sorry. You got to, if it's a one-possession game and you get screwed by the refs, then fine. Like, that I can see, because that's the NBA, too. But you can't go in there and lose by 30 again. I mean, don't give me one of those. Don't give me one of these series where we're just home road.
No, I don't.
And I'm waiting for game seven on Sunday.
So, look, I don't think they're going to get schwacked tonight like they did in the last game. I don't think you're going to get that. But, you know, look, a lot of these guys, Tatum, Brown, Rozier, asking them to play in LeBron's gym on the road now.
Rozier especially.
They're going to crap their pants.
Rozier is. We expect more. We should from Tatum and Brown.
So Tatum, I actually think of all those guys on the road, has been the best of those three guys. Like Brown to me, and Brown did okay at the end of the Milwaukee series too, if I remember right. And the Philly one off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Tatum shot the ball twice in the first quarter the other night.
Is that right? Only two, huh?
He's got to get more. So the coach has got to get him more. If he can't get it, you know, like, they got to make sure that he's of more of a focal point of the offense.
See, I don't think LeBron deferred as much as you do. And I say that, and LeBron took half of his shots in the first quarter. And he was going to the basket more. Like, there were a couple of those drives where he put his shoulder down and you weren't getting in his way. I mean, so now look, overall, did he have the shot volume that he's had in the past? No, but I think that, again, he took half his shots in the first quarter, saw that everyone else was engaged, and then said, I'm going to sit back and just facilitate. And he made some great passes.
Oh, tremendous. Tremendous passing for him. He also had 10 free throw attempts, which you pointed out. Which
right,
means,
so that's another. And exactly, which means when you go into the rim, those field goals, unless they go in, they don't count. So that's five more shots that don't show up.
But George Hill's just the exact kind of guy. I'm like, what does that show me? You bum. I watched you here in Boston. You were afraid to shoot the ball. Afraid. How many times that, you know.
He had two shots in the first 30 minutes of game two.
George Hill, all the chances that he had to cock and load and fire the, you know, like. And just petrified. And then he goes to Cleveland and he's world be free.
Well,
like, he's like all over the place, just draining, like Drano. Like,
if he didn't check out late, like watching Jordan Clarkson acting all cocky, you know, when the game's a complete blowout, he's finally on the floor like, ooh, you know, strutting and posing. Like, get out of here,
you
Jordan
guys,
Clarkson.
You show
you stink.
Me nothing. That shows me nothing. You do that here. in that building with everybody up against you, and you know, you get home, it's wee. I like, but there's too much of that in the NBA. I hate it.
No,
I hate it.
That ain't gonna change. That's that league. You know?
No, the large majority of players in that league are sackless.
God,
is what it comes down to. Which is why, like, you look at LeBron, you say game two, he threw 42 up there. But you're talking about the best player in the world. Most play, and this to me is also an indictment on the East. Like the fact that the series in the East are going home court. Milwaukee went totally home court. Philly basically did, except for the one game that the Sixers crapped their pants in.
The Celtics gutted out.
The Sixers crapped their pants in. And now this one's going that way.
Coach Stevens won for you.
The Celtics are 9-0 at home and 1-5 on the road. And in some of those games on the road, they've had their asses kicked.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
The game three in Milwaukee wasn't pretty either.
The point differential.
Brad hasn't done well on the road this postseason.
His whole career, he hasn't. Their point differential at home, plus 11.3, road, minus 12.5. They lose their road games by an average of almost 13 points a game.
That's a 24-point swing.
That's not even competitive, and that includes the victory in Philadelphia.
Just by changing the gym.
Oh, I hate that.
Brad needs to be better.
24-point swing.
Prove to me you're not that team, Celtics. Prove to me you're not just that home court kind of fraudulent. Tell me you're more than just George Hill and J.R. Smith, because they just did the exact same thing.
Horford is a big one, though. That's a veteran guy. Like, he played in a lot of enemy gyms, and he's a key guy for the offense of that team. You know, he's got to do better against Thompson.
Okay, it's a reentry Monday.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. Morris steps back away from LeBron and gives him a wide open three, which he knocks down. The Celtics suddenly are down by 11. So he's able to push it out to Jeff Green. He finds Korver, who steps to his left and hits a three.
Boy, he gets you with that up at low pump fake and gets you on the move. You did the right thing, but he still knocked down that shot.
Hill. Pounded by Marcus Smart. Leave him by 18. Ooh. Find LeBron. Diving towards the basket. He reverses it home with two hands.
That was a great pass then from Kevin Love to LeBron James for the dunk.
Kevin Love finds LeBron. Lobs it up for him. And he got in behind Rozier and throws it down. LeBron gets a screen from Tristan Thompson. Starts down the right side. Stops at 12 feet. Throws a bounce pass to Thompson for the two-hand slam. As two guys ran to LeBron. Morris and Baines got crossed up defensively. 9 assists now for LeBron.
LeBron is setting the table.
LeBron lobs it up and is thrown down by Nance. LeBron is toying with the Celtics right now.
He's playing with the game.
Yeah, he is. Korver, catch and shoot. 3 is good. And the question is, J.R. Smith getting hot, Korver getting hot, Cavs 16 of 29 shooting threes. Is that the kind of thing that carries over, or is it just a one-night deal?
Well, we were great in the regular season on the road. We were one of the better teams in the regular season. I don't have an answer for you in the playoffs, but all that is a mute point for us. We have to play well. We have to focus on us and play well and play with more substance. They took it to us. When you get in the playoffs, you get in these environments. Not only are you playing, you know, in great environments, you're playing really good teams. When we've gone on the road, you know, we've gone on with 2-0 leads in all three series, and you know, in two of those three times, we didn't play as well as the other team. You know, point blank, they just outplayed us.
So there's game three. Game four comes your way tonight here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tip it at 8:30, pregame at 8 o'clock here on the station. So stay tuned all night for that here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. We continue the thoughts on that. Brady, whatever you want here on a re-entry Monday. Here's Anthony in Medford. Go ahead, Anthony. What do you got?
Hey, what's up, Michael? Yeah, you knew they weren't going to win the third game. I mean, the announcers were calling out them as quitters in Cleveland, so you knew Cleveland was going to play good. I mean, you knew LeBron was going to be the king, but when Korver, J.R. Smith start shooting, it was hurt. But as far as the Sarge selection, now it's ridiculous. The two Marcus has got to know their roles. You know what I mean? Marcus Smart got to do what he loves, diving for loose balls, rebounding, and playing tight team, distributing with the ball. I don't mind when he goes to the hoop, but when he thinks he's world be free and he takes those three-pointers, as soon as it leaves his hand, you know it's not going in. I'm sorry.
Okay, but you know whose responsibility that is? Stevens.
Sure, yeah, you got to put the cuffs on him sometimes.
Because you know Smart's just going to keep chucking, and Marcus Morris is going to keep chucking. You know, the coach has to get in there and either get them off the floor, or draw up sets for those other guys and make sure they follow. So it's up to Stevens to make sure that the shot selection is what it should be.
So I have less of an issue with Morris than Smart because Morris gets hot and sometimes makes them. And ultimately, that's why he's here. Like, he's here to score. And LeBron, don't get me wrong, but on the offensive end, they want him shooting for the most part. But Smart, please. Look, again, they got steamrolled in that game. Steamrolled.
Scott in New Hampshire on Brady. What do you think, Scott?
Hey, Michael, how are you? So, I agree with you. Surprising might be a great word for Brady's situation, but I think we differ on the reason. And the reason is I think he's certainly got plenty of issues with Belichick, and it's not just his trainer and his contract. But I can't see him staying out of OTAs and so forth with Kraft, his second father. So, my theory is that this is the new reality, that he can't just treat his year like he always has in the past, that there's only so many bullets in the gun, and that he's going to, next year he won't be, you know, playing in May. He's going to, you know, forego a Monday in May for a Sunday in January,
that
and
sucks.
The team may be fine with that.
Scott, do you think that that'll be true if Josh McDaniels is in his first year as head coach?
Possibly, because McDaniels knows that, you know, with his age and the fact that they have no backup, that they're going to have to treat things a little bit differently going forward.
Oh, no. Josh would accept it. That's not the question. The question is, would Brady do that to Josh as a first-year head coach in New England?
See, I doubt it.
No, no shot.
Especially if, and this is what I don't know, if McDaniels appealed to him. Like, if McDaniels said to him, Tom, listen, I really like you here, Brady would go. I think he would. So that's why, this is not a new reality for Brady. This is still about Bill, and if you're going to make my life miserable there when I am there, then why would I come when I don't have to be there?
But the caller also sort of portrayed it like there's just so much time in the day for Tom. The Super Bowl was February 4th. He's had
three and a half months.
12, 16, he's had, how much time do you need? And, you know, at this time of year, you're not down there for 14 hours a day. It's, you know, whatever, half a day, maybe it's a full day. But there's only like 10 of these things, and you can't even make it for this?
No, to me, I'm telling you, this is sticking.
So this is why there is no good reason. I'm sure there's a reason. He's pissed about his contract. He's pissed about Guerrero. His wife wants him home. Maybe, and again, God forbid, that he's got a family thing with one of his kids or something. I mean, that would be justifiable, certainly. But he's had these in the past. He's had all these issues in the past. He's never missed this week.
No, it's about Bill. Come on, it's about Bill, Mike. Of course it's about Bill. Like, this is a classic case of, again, you know, it wasn't a good environment. It wasn't a fun environment. All of that stuff. And now it's okay. Bill, if that's how you're going to run it, that's fine. You're the coach. But I'll be there when I have to be there, because the rest of the time
so
I'm not showing.
Weak. I didn't hear that the last 4 years when Garoppolo was here. All I heard is that he put in more time than anybody. It's more important to him than everybody, that he's given up his life. Are you going to give up yours? And this stuff comes easy to me. And you've got to drag me away from watching film all day long. And all of this.
Hey, he's contradicting himself, and that's a bad look. But, I don't know, like, for him to want a new contract, I can't blame him there. And for him to still be upset with Belichick for whatever reason, all the other, you know, taking away his trainer and all his access, you know, I can appreciate that. Because to me, and I think a lot of people, he's the more important piece right now. So what he's doing this week to me is to stick it to Bill, like Tony's saying. And part of that is having him in front of the media. The cameras are on him. Bill hates to have to answer these questions, so sticking it to him. You have to now answer the question, where's Tom? Where's Tom, coach? Where's Tom?
Oh, such
Bill,
a bad look Tom? Tomorrow. All the media's there. All you can watch the practice. It's on. This is basically a precursor to training camp. It's offense, defense, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, install of the offense. It's a passing camp. Every quarterback in the league is here this week. Everyone. Brady's been here every year, pretty much, I think. No one's told me a year that he hasn't made this week. There's other years where he's missed the earlier portions, but he's never missed this week. And now, all of a sudden,
But to make Belichick have to answer those questions, like, you're not going to get anything from him. You know that. But to put him in that situation, that's a win, and Brady. That's a win for Brady.
And I still need to know, is Brady going to the TB12 this week? So is he still going out to Gillette? He's just not going into the bubble? He's just going to work out with Guerrero? We're going to find this out. I've been demanding stakeouts of the beat guys, because Lord knows, when I was on the beat, I would have been sent on a stakeout. If we still worked at the Herald, Sales or Torpy or someone, our former bosses, would be telling us to get in our car and go sit in the parking lot and tell the people, tell the readers, where's Brady? Is he at the team practice? Is he at Guerrero's thing? Where is he? Is Guerrero going somewhere else to train with Brady on some facility off-site? Let's find this out. Stakeouts.
I like the idea.
I demand it. So we've actually got, and that's Jimmy cracking the whip of me having other people do my job to explain the joke. So we've got to find people to do this. If the beat guys won't do it, we got to find people to do it.
Well, I got a couple of people in mind.
So we've got some job shadows this week. They're not even interns. They're just job shadows.
Right. They're following us around, in which case we're going to tell them to stop following us around and head to Foxborough.
High school kids. So we got all these high school kids. Or maybe Matthew in Framingham, our intern, the author of the Palace Q, wants to go do this. But we need tails. We need stakeouts. I want to know where Brady is this week.
I think we should make Matthew in Framingham the ringleader.
you organize the job shadows, and you're a former Navy guy. Organize this. Get some sort of chain of command going, and
henchmen.
Spread these guys out across the city, and tell me where Brady is this week.
In fact, Matt, I want you guys to wear Felger and Mass T-shirts when you go down there. And on the back, they say misleading the public.
Get on the Acela. He's in New York. He's in New York. That's where he is.
He was in New York last weekend. Is he there today?
Yesterday. He was there in New York.
Is he there today?
As far as I know, yes.
I need to know these things. I want to know, is Brady working out in Foxborough, just not at the stadium? You know how atrocious that would be if that's the case?
I'm telling you, he's really...
Even still, that's just semantics, right, Maz? If Guerrero's coming to him, if he'll only go to Brookline but not Foxborough... God, that's gross.
Of course. It doesn't make any difference whether he's actually going into the TB12, but the visuals are striking.
The optics. Yeah. The optics. Or is Brady working out at a field somewhere in between? Have he and Guerrero carved out some space somewhere in between Brookline and Foxborough that he's working out, but he won't go work out with his team? Meanwhile, Brian Hoyer and something named Brian Etling? What's this kid's first
name? Danny.
Danny Etling? Is sitting there working with the first offense and getting, that Brady's letting that happen.
Well, that's first offense, assuming Gronk shows up.
I just think that's just so fraudulent on the part of Brady. My God.
Jimmy G gets traded away, and all of a sudden, Tom's taking a long summer.
They mentioned the T-shirts. Felger and Maz now has T-shirts. I'm holding it up on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast. It has Felger and Maz on the back. Sorry, on the front. With a specific logo. It's really a common logo to every show here on the station. Felger and Maz. Front logo on back says misleading the public since 2009. That is when John Henry came in here and said, you're all misleading the public.
You're misleading the public?
Thank you. We've been doing that since 2009. We mentioned these. We had these T-shirts 2 weeks ago. They sold out in about 90 minutes.
You guys don't really need me to help your ratings, do you?
Misleading the public?
These sold out in 90 minutes last time, so they had to order a whole new batch. We've gotten a new batch. So go to 985thesportshub.com. I'm sorry, shop.985thesportshub.com.
No. You're misleading the public?
985thesportshub.com/store.
That's not what it says here.
Oh.
My sheet says shop.985thesportshub.com.
That's not what mine is.
Oh, what can I tell you? That's what mine says. Google it. Anyway, the T-shirts are there for you. The Felger Maz T-shirt, misleading the public.
You're misleading the public?
Since 2009. We ordered fresh ones because they sold out in 90 minutes the last time. So if you want one, I'd get cracking on it. Shop.985thesportshub.com. I think that's the website.
I just came here to help your rating.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Johnson trying to end it right here. The 2-2 home. For strike three, the strikeout ends it. He throws Trumbo, and the Red Sox complete the shutout 5-0. And Adam wind up taking 3 out of 4 from the Orioles. Now it is on to Tampa Bay.
All right, it's a re-entry Monday. We'll give you a Red Sox minute. Sox win 3 of 4 from Baltimore, stay tied with the Yankees. Top the AL East, Maz. Give me some Sox thoughts.
So, look, the thing that has struck me about this series in particular, yesterday in particular, the weekend, all of it, is J.D. Martinez. I mean, just that second home run yesterday. You do not see many balls hit over that 420-foot sign. You don't. And this guy is a lineup changer. It has been a lineup changer so far. And I'm not making any long-term proclamations over it. But... based on how he's performed here, they lead the American League in runs scored. Now, they've played a couple of more games than the Yankees because the Yankees have had some rainouts, and it's close, so that the Yankees have actually averaged more runs per game. But nonetheless, last year, their offense, you know, they were low in home runs. Their offense was mediocre, I would say, not nearly as good as it should have been. This guy's changed the lineup. I mean, he's changed the lineup. So I am rapidly becoming a believer in J.D. Martinez. This has nothing to do with Giancarlo Stanton. I'm talking about purely J.D. Martinez. I am rapidly becoming a believer. Now, that is my sort of, you know, that's my micro take on the weekend. My macro take?
Baltimore blows?
Oh, my God, do they suck.
How did I know you were going to do that?
Holy crap. Do you know what Baltimore's record is on the road?
They had lost 13 straight up until the other night.
4-19. 4-19. And the other thing that should strike you is, I asked Murray this last week, how many series do you really want to see this year that the Red Sox play? The New York ones? Fine.
Yep.
Cleveland right now is .500, but I'll give you Cleveland. Houston for sure. At Washington they play. Other than that, what?
Maybe Anaheim and Otani.
Okay, so you're getting geeked up for Atlanta?
Nope.
Who gives a rat's ass about the Braves? I couldn't name five guys on the Braves, I don't think.
Otis Nixon?
Does Tom Glavine still pitch for the Braves?
For sure, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
From Bill Ricca.
So you're going to get a lot of this, because the Red Sox can play as well as they're playing right now, and they're still in second place. You know that.
The league sucks.
It's brutal. I can't remember a time where the league is this bad. And someone sent me something the other day that attendance is down in all over the league other than the 9 major markets. Like 21 out of the 30 teams are having attendance problems because they're not major markets or having a good year. Like all of it, because all these teams are tanking. Nobody wants to go to the games. I can't blame them. I just think, you know, look, we're fortunate here to be in a market where you have a good team. But the league is so bad that the Red Sox are 32-15, and they're 2 behind the Yankees in the loss column. That's stunning.
Back to the J.D. Martinez and Stanton. For the fans that go, bleh. How do you respond to that?
It's a long-term thing.
Would you still rather have Stanton?
Yes.
Jimmy Stewart, would you still rather have Giancarlo Stanton or J.D. Martinez?
I think right now I'd rather have J.D. Martinez.
Oh, my God, you changed your mind. You flipped. Wow. You flipped. Murray?
I mean, he did something yesterday that Manny Ramirez used to do.
He's been impressive. And
I'm sorry, Jimmy, which is what?
Which is hit it to right center field over that 420-foot marker. Like, Manny Ramirez used to do things like that.
No, that was a bomb.
I mean, that's a rarity. It is. You don't see many hitters do that, right-handed or left-handed, hit it to that part of the ballpark. You don't. So, look.
Okay, but if I'm the Yankees and Stanton, he's got 11. So J.D. Martinez, I think, is on pace for 52 home runs because he got 2 yesterday. And leads the league with 15. Stanton's got 11, so he's on pace for 40-something. His batting average is up to 260-something, I believe.
263.
Okay, his batting average is up to 263. His OPS is up to 8-something.
872.
Okay, 872. The Yankees are basically tied with the Red Sox in home runs and runs and power numbers, and they don't need to worry about putting asses in their seats. Because that team has tremendous buzz in New York, and they've kept pace with you offensively and in the standings. If I'm the Yankees, I'm not looking at that Stanton deal and bemoaning that thing.
No.
He got off to a bad start, and we'd like some of those numbers to be higher. I mean, the strikeout numbers are stupid. But on balance, it hadn't been a disaster down there, and that's largely worked. That lineup down there is ridiculous, and he's right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I told you, I don't think I'm not second-guessing the decision over the long term. And again, it's long term versus short term. With Stanton versus Martinez. So you want to tell me that in 2017, J.D. Martinez, or 2018, J.D. Martinez is going to be the better player? Fine, he might be. He has to this point. Again, they just named him Player of the Week. So not that that means anything, but he's hot as a pistol. He's the most dangerous hitter in the game right now. Frank Thomas said that he thinks J.D. Martinez is the best hitter in baseball. And he has been over the last, you know, season and 2 months since the start of 2017. And look, Thomas knows how to hit. I'll take his word for it. The guy's a better hitter than I thought he was. But in 3 years, if Stanton is hitting 45 bombs a year for the Yankees and J.D. Martinez is starting to deteriorate, you're telling me that's a bad move for the Yankees? Or that wouldn't have been a better move here?
I don't think it's gotten off to that awful of a start. I mean, we're not even at Memorial Day. And the Yanks are in first place. They've hit a gazillion home runs, just like you. And Stanton's been right in the middle of it. So what's the, you know, Martinez has been, J.D. Martinez has been better. There's no question about it. But I don't think that thing's been a disaster in New York at all, and there's a long way to go. Long way to go. Meanwhile, the Red Sox just keep cranking it out. They just keep winning. The Yankees keep winning, and it's all about, are you playing in the divisional round, or are you playing in that one-game wild card? So just get ready for that all season long.
Yeah, no, it should be a really fun series against Tampa Bay in the next 3 days. And then who's after that, Murray's at Atlanta? Your Braves? Great. The anonymous Atlanta Braves.
Avery, Smoltz, and Maddox is the pitching lineup.
There's your Red Sox minute. We get back to your calls on everything right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball right center field, driven deep. Jones is back, turning around. Oh, he's done it again. J.D. Martinez to one of the deepest parts of Fenway. And he is now tied for the major league lead in home runs. His second of the afternoon.
420 right center, the triangle. Look at this pitch. Center cut, lift, take off. 420. Easy. Huh? I mean, my goodness.
So there's that home run Maz was talking about. Back to your phones, as promised, on everything from the weekend here on a reentry Monday. Rob in New Hampshire, what do you got for me, Rob?
Hey, Rob. Hi, guys. I feel like I have to start by saying I think the Thunder would have beaten the Warriors if they had gone all the way, because that's what you made me say last time. The thought I had here is, like, going back to the Knights, there's an aspect of it. They scored like three, maybe four goals, like 20 seconds, 30 seconds after Vancouver had scored. And part of that was tied to just pure work rate and effort by cast-off guys that were just working their asses off and working their butts off. And I think there's an aspect that ties to Stevens with the Celtics. He gets them to work so hard. And it'll be interesting to see as those guys go to their, let's say, second-level contracts or whatever, of whether he can keep that. I think that'll be a key aspect about whether he's a long-term coach with young players versus older established players.
No question. No question. But let's not go off comparing the Celtics and what they're doing to the Vegas Golden Knights. You've got lottery picks up and down your roster. High lottery picks. The Vegas Golden Knights have expansion picks up and down their roster. Expansion draft picks. That's how they built their team. They still don't have any stars. It's unbelievable what they're doing. It's ridiculous what they're doing. Stevens, when he has to manage egos, is going to be a different level for him. And that starts next year when Hayward and Irving come back and they have to share the ball and share the shots and share the spotlight. Let's see how they all manage it and let's see how the coach does. No question about it.
I mean, that's going to be a different challenge for him because, again, there aren't many years. I don't know if he's had one where he's going to have the kind of expectation he's going to have next fall.
Plus the expectation, right. He's been playing with house money since Hayward broke his ankle.
I mean, right. So there were expectations going into this year, but then 5 minutes into the season, the guy breaks his leg, basically, and that's the end of that. It all changed that night.
Evan in Brookline. Hi, Evan.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think the NFL really missed an opportunity by not having Brady be traded by the Pats, you know, whether it would have happened or not. I just think the storylines alone with Brady's revenge tour, and we wouldn't have had all these stupid, annoying little Brady will-he-won't-he storylines. I think that his revenge tour, him coming back into Foxborough, Belichick pulling the ultimate Don move would have been so much more interesting than this stupid stuff we're going through right now.
Well,
thanks.
I mean, let's just see how it plays out. If Brady takes you back to the Super Bowl, if you win another championship, certainly, it's all sort of justified. But if you don't get back, you had the kid. You had the whole transition set up. And, well, geez, Garoppolo hadn't even been gone 6 months, and Brady's already skipping camp. And he's already talking about now it's year to year. And now it's, you know, I need to spend family time. And I'm sorry. It could not have turned out much worse since that trade in terms of the optics of how Brady's handling himself. I mean, now it's like, the whole reason you had Garoppolo and all the benefits you got from Garoppolo have totally evaporated. Where Brady remained the first guy in, the last one out, highly motivated, incredible work ethic, not just individually, but with his team, and total buy-in, total commitment. And then you trade the kid, and now Brady's not even showing up. for an important part of the offseason. Like, that is just, that to me is gross.
Stunning, right?
And you've already, so like, it's like, that's a bad first step. You trade Garoppolo, you put all your eggs in Brady's basket, and he bails. He's kind of bailing. I mean, that's what he's doing. Boy, that's, if I'm the Patriots, I'm aggravated by that to no end.
I mean, it does make you wonder, the whole thing makes you wonder where his career would have gone had Garoppolo never been selected. Like, what would have happened in those 4 years? Because there's no doubt that that's what kicked Brady in the ass.
Michael in Medford, your thoughts?
Oh.
Hi, Michael. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I was talking to Matt, and I know he's a Palace Q fan. So my question is, if Brady's the excellent quarterback, and Belichick is in charge of putting a good product on the team, and he runs his system, hypothetically, against Murray, Brady holds out for whatever reason, contract, whatever. Do they still have a good product to make the playoffs without Brady?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
10-6 and they win the division with Brian Hoyer.
Absolutely not.
Oh, you guys are so wrong.
No, I couldn't be more right. Brian Hoyer 10-6. Sucks.
So what?
Sucks. They're
so
not.
What?
So, okay, then you believe in the running game then. You're telling me you believe in Sonny Michel and the new running game, and running game matters.
He doesn't suck.
Yes, he does. What's his? Well, give me his playoff numbers. I'll tell him to you right now. Six turnovers, five picks, one fumble. His one playoff appearance, he was a bum's bum.
Hold on.
He sucks.
You didn't ask me for his playoff record, his playoff chances. I said they'd be 10-6 and win the division.
Yeah, so, all right, so put him in high leverage situations. He's going to puke all over himself. His numbers as a starter are awful.
Did he win like eight games a couple years ago? Did he win more than that?
I think seven, maybe, with the Browns or whatever it was. He sucks, though, Mike. I'm sorry. They're not going to do jack with Brian Hoyer this year. That's coming.
His career records as a starter is 16-21. He went 7-6 with the Browns, 5-4 with the Texans.
Thank you. He'd be 10-6 here and you'd win the division. He'd be 10-6
and
you'd win the division.
What's it about here? It's about championships.
Okay, right, exactly,
not just
right. Okay, so fine. I'm just telling you. You'd go 10-6 and win the division with Brian Hoyer as your opening day starting quarterback. That's not what we're talking about.
See, I'm not convinced of that either, but go ahead.
Either way. I mean, what's the point of, there's no point in debating that. The question is what Brady's doing to the team after committing to them for the last 4 years through words and, more importantly, his actions. Total buy-in. Total commitment. 100% of the time, regular season, playoffs, off season, during the season, work hard, first one in, last one out, total buy-in. And to the point where the team says, well, yep, we will trade the future quarterback because our 40-year-old is completely committed. Then they trade the future quarterback and the 40-year-old decides not to be totally committed. Great. Nice. Thanks, Tom. What was all that about for the last 4 years then?
So he's undermining them is what he's doing.
Bait and switch.
Yeah, he's undermining them. And not only is he baiting and switching Belichick and even Kraft for that matter, but I also think that he's affecting the potential development of some of the players on the team. Whether it's Jordan Matthews, whether it's Berrios, the kid, you know, again, he's a seventh round pick. But regardless.
Malcolm Mitchell, whoever, they got a bunch of guys. The rookie first round, the running back? Who they want to throw to, like all these things.
He is the offense. You can't run an offense, offensive camp without Brady.
And instead he's letting Hoyer and something named Etling take all these snaps. That is just, it is so weak.
No, he's undermining it. I wonder what's going on behind the scenes, though. Like, I wonder if he's in touch with McDaniels. And McDaniels is saying, we did this today. Here's what you got to watch with this guy.
No. See, this isn't about Brady. Brady doesn't need this. It's never been about Brady. It's about the team. Oh, remember that, Tom? Like, all this stuff about the team and the commitment and what it takes. And, I've given up my life. Will you give up yours? All of this. What happened? I'm gone in an instant. The boy was just chilling in New York instead of being here in camp? Or who the hell knows where he is? Brutal. Brutality. Gene in Boston on LeBron James. Gene, what do you think?
Well, I like to say that the Cleveland Cavaliers came with a pretty good game the other night. And I was just wondering, did it have anything to do with LeBron running the training camp with these guys? Maybe in charge of the towels or baby oil or something.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but just be safe, Gene, wherever you are.
The take was so hot, they're coming to put it out.
Yeah, no, it's... Talk about the take police, yeah. Exactly right.
He didn't sound like he was on the run, though.
No, the take police were in hot pursuit of that one.
Like, if he was gasping, I would have been concerned. But I don't think they were after him.
So we walked into game three and said, could LeBron shut it down? Could he quit? And we all said, yeah, he could. Because that's sort of his MO, too. That wasn't going to happen in Game 3. So if it wasn't going to happen in Game 3, you're not getting the laydown factor. Unless the Celts go up by 12 points late in the third quarter, and, I mean, would it, you know, like, is the LeBron shutdown factor totally off the table in your mind?
No. No, of course not. No, absolutely not. Because, again, I look at some of the other guys in that team, and are you telling me, is it really going to take much to break J.R. Smith's will?
No.
We came here for the friends.
I mean, that guy will keel over in a second if they put him in any type of spot where he can pack it in. I just think that the variable now is that they have the home crowd behind them. It's going to be a little harder for those guys to quit. And so, you know, in that building, they're all going to be more confident players. So they're going to take shots and they're going to make shots. Like, you're going to see that. But I'd be surprised if tonight's game is like Saturday's.
Oh, my God.
I would. I can't imagine they are going to get smoked the way they did on Saturday.
I'd be borderline pissed. It's just like, don't tell me it's one of these home road. It's just who's ever home. No use talking about anything else other than where's the game played. And you know who's going to win, and so we're all just waiting here with our schmens in our hands till Sunday. I mean, is that basically what we're doing? The home team's just going to win? So what's the point of this? What's the point of discussing any of it? What's the point of all these hoop nerds going over all this film? Like, you read these stories now. They're all embedded with all these stories. Like, look at this switch here and how he gets them free. Wait, maybe it's just a Quicken Loans, jackass. Like, you spent all this time breaking down these X's and O's and these strategies and these decisions. And, like, no, it was just in Cleveland. The previous games were in Boston. That's why it's 2-1. We've had 2 in Boston, 1 in Cleveland. Is it just going to be one of those series? I can't stand those. God, I hate that.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.